When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to season 4 of the Behind the Scenes podcast, Soap from the Box. I hope you've had a brilliant week, whatever you've been up to. We're back with a very special episode today. I'm Lee Salisbury, television director and producer, and now podcaster. And in season 4, we're not only talking to your favourite stars from EastEnders, Coronation Street, Emmerdale, Hollyoaks, Home and Away and Neighbours, we've also got some huge television and film specials plus, and today's one of them, some extra special pop from the box music guests. Remember, to be VIP, you should be listening to the whole show on the Another Slice podcast player or app. It's free to sign up to, and there's a free episode over there right now with EastEnders star Jacqueline Josser. Head to anotherslice.com/soapfromthebox. Right, for you 90s music fans, I've got a huge treat for you today. I've got the one and the only. In 1991, the one and only was the debut single by a British singer and actor, which featured in the film Buddy's Song and spent 5 weeks at the top of the UK singles chart and reached number 10 in the US Billboard Hot 100 singles chart. What a complicated name for a chart. Success continued with more music and more TV, and he's on the road again this year. He's got a podcast. He's got a new album coming out. It's a pleasure to welcome the iconic Chesney Hawkes. Hi, Chesney.
Hello, Lee. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm actually really good at the moment. As you mentioned then, I've got all sorts of things going on at the moment, so I'm busy. I like to be busy. So I'm touring. I've got a new album, got a new podcast. It's just it's all going off right now.
Very excited. It's kind of exciting in our industry that there's so many avenues now. We can put our creative juices to work, isn't it?
It's true. It's very true. And well, weirdly enough, over the last kind of 10 years or so, for any kind of celebrity, it's very eclectic anyway. You know, so you, one minute you can be, you know, an Olympic diver. The next minute you can be a chef, you know.
Yeah, true.
or you know, a figure skater or whatever.
I know. I had Deborah Lawrence, who played Pippa in Home and Away, talking about the 90s back then. And she just did MasterChef in Australia with Gaz Beadle from Geordie Shore. I was like, what? How random in Australia. So you never know what's going to happen.
No,
but you're in LA, aren't you? How long have you been in LA?
I've lived here for nearly 11 years now, Lee. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
This is home for me now. Yeah. Although I spend a lot of time on the road, so I don't get a chance to miss Blighty. I'm always back in England.
You're always back and forth. Well, let's start. We'll talk about everything else, but we have to turn back the time and talk about March and April in 1991, when the one and only topped the charts. I mean, it was a time of huge music, but I mean, that song just went kind of stratospheric, didn't it? It must have been amazing at the time to kind of go, oh my God, what's happening?
Yeah, it was a bit like that. You know, I was so young as well. I mean, when I starred in that film, I was like 17.
Wow.
And when The One and Only came out, I just turned 19. And yeah, I went from kind of playing piano in pubs and things around my area to men in flat caps and a Jack Russell to, you know, selling out arenas and things like that. It was pretty overnight and pretty crazy. It was like, I always kind of equate it to being like in the eye of a storm, you know.
Yeah.
suddenly there were like girls outside the house and we had to put a gate up, and, I never knew where I was waking up. You know, it was like, where are we today? You're in Holland. Okay.
Yeah.
Germany.
I recount this story. I remember S-Club 7, because I work in telly as well, and I used to work in kids TV, and I remember they used to kind of have their heads held up by their hair to have their makeup done, and they would kind of wake up and go, oh God, are we still in China? And he'd be like, no, we're in London.
Exactly. It was like that. I mean, I remember there was one day back in the early 90s where I did 7 countries in one day.
7 countries?
And, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they used to like to work you to the bone, you know.
And they did.
It's not quite as bad as it used to be these days. But I understand why these artists, you know, that go through this kind of the machine, I say that the pop machine that they go through, I understand how they kind of like, get exhausted, you know, because we really are pushed a lot, you know. I remember fainting in Japan once. And it was literally because I'd been doing interview after interview after interview, and people, you know, tend to ask very similar questions, and you end up kind of like pressing the play button on, oh, that's question number 19, you know, so I'll answer that one. And I remember it was in a hotel, and it was like, you know, one journalist after another, like coming through. And I stood up at one point and I completely lost I fainted, you know. It was like, I'd never fainted in my life, you know.
Oh my God,
it was just pure exhaustion, you know.
I remember being on that on the Saturday show, and Britney Spears' One Baby Hit Me Baby One More Time obviously happened, and she went the same. It was just absolutely mad. I suppose you've been doing Buddy's song for 2 years. I mean, were you surrounded by an inkling that this song was going to take off, or was it a complete surprise?
Well, you never really know what to expect. And I mean, you know, and being so young, I had always been a lover of music, and I'd be played instruments my whole life and written songs, and it was all I ever wanted to do. So when I eventually got the opportunity to put my music out, in a very kind of big-headed way, I guess, or just a way where I thought, well, this is my destiny type of thing.
Yeah, you know? yeah.
As a young kid, you have that, don't you? That kind of
And also, everyone wants to be a pop star at that age. You know, like it's a dream come true, isn't it? And you think, especially if you can write and you can play instruments, like, yeah, this is my time.
Exactly, and that's kind of what I thought. And so when it did happen, I wasn't surprised as such, but I was more surprised at the kind of craziness of it, if you know what I mean. And also the other thing, Lee, is I grew up in a very rock and roll household. So my dad was in a band called the Tremolos. You know, they
I was going to come to this actually. Yeah, go on. Your dad was in the Tremolos. Your mum's a former actress, isn't she? And game show hostess. I love that.
Yes.
Your sister was the lead singer of 90s band Transistor, who I actually loved. And your brother played drums for you. And now he's back in your dad's band. Is that right?
Well, he still plays with me as well. But yeah, my brother and I have actually, we are now in the Tremolos. It's hilarious. Because my dad's not been very well. So
you're in the Tremolos as well. Amazing.
Well, I've just done 2 tours in a row as the lead singer of the Tremolos. Yeah.
Fantastic. Oh, your dad must love that though.
Yeah, well, I think he likes the fact that we're kind of keeping the legacy alive and, keeping it in the family. So that's nice.
We'll come back to your growing up, though, because Roger Daltrey played your dad in the film, didn't he? And did he kind of cast you? Because it was his kind of project, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was his project. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was definitely part of the casting process, but really, it was kind of like an open casting call where, you know, like an X Factor type audition where there's loads of young boys and stuff like that. It wasn't nothing televised or anything, but it was that kind of, you know, lines of boys outside the casting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was just lucky enough to be right for the.
Where was the open audition?
Somewhere in London, the first one, I think it was in Wimbledon, fun enough. But then it got down to me and one other guy eventually. That audition or casting was at Bray Studios, where The Who were rehearsing for one of their final tours that they used to do back then. And, Yeah, and I remember performing on the stage that the Who were rehearsing, and Pete Townsend was there, and like, and you know, so it was crazy, crazy time.
That was crazy. Right, we're going to come back. Let's get the song on that we've been talking about. It was number one for 5 weeks. We're going to play What Beat You after we play it, but let you introduce it to the nation. Your number one song.
All right. Well, this is the one and only.
I'm going to ask my guest this. Chesney Horse is with me. Do you know the number or in the chart of the best-selling single that was of 1991? Do you know what number it was?
The
one and only, like, yeah, kind of as in the whole year, what it was in
that whole year. Oh, I have no idea. I'd be really intrigued to know, actually. Oh, I presume that Bryan Adams was probably number one.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, everything I do for you.
And maybe Wet was around that time as well, wasn't it?
I think they might have been a different year. Try to guess some. There was a big... what can I explain with the others? Well, let me tell you what you were. You were the seventh best-selling single of 1991. I mean, incredible. Quite depressing. A couple of the songs that beat you. Do the Bartman.
Is it the Bartman?
Yes, by The Simpsons at number five. Quite depressing.
Yeah, Shoop Shoop song, maybe?
Yes, number three. That was Cher, the Shoop Shoop song, It's In His Kiss. I mean, that's a tune. Number one and two, I mean, you know, Bryan Adams and Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody. And
Queen, of course, it was Bohemian Rhapsody.
So you give it to them. I mean, I love Jason Donovan. Any Dream Will Do. Not the best song ever. That was just a number six. That just pitched you to number six. And I mean, we kind of love this, I suppose. But I mean, they were at number four. I'm Too Sexy, Right Said Fred.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, big tunes.
Yeah, I used to bump into all of those artists, through that year and years following. I'm still friends with the Freds. I did a tour with Bryan Adams actually in 93.
You?
Yeah, we played together stadium tour around Europe, and that was really fun. I never met Bart Simpson though. I mean, maybe one day I'll get to meet him.
What about Cher? Did you meet Cher?
I mean, we were in the same room. I never got to actually, you know, say hello, shake her hand.
She walked past you. Yeah, she's
exactly.
She's walked past me a couple of times, and she's never looked older.
Oh God, poor Cher. She's a legend, isn't she?
So some other songs though below you. I mean, Black or White, Michael Jackson was at number 13, which I mean, that's amazing.
What else? Outsold Michael Jackson in 91. Well,
outside Michael Jackson and Salt and Pepper, Let's Talk About Sex was at 14.
Wow.
George Michael, Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, 15. More Than Words, Extreme, number 16. Sit Down, James, at number 20. So I mean,
James actually was number two for pretty much the whole time that I was number one.
Oh, well, that shows you how much you were outselling them at number two, though, if you're right up there. And then obviously the last one I'll mention, because I want to be so bored listening to this, was brilliant, and I can't find it now. Oh, get ready for this, Two Unlimited. Do you remember Two Unlimited?
I remember Two Unlimited.
I love Two Unlimited, yeah. Chesney Hawkes is with me. Now, we started talking about this. You were born in Windsor. We'll go back to the beginning. And as we said, very performance-led family, dad, mum, sister, brother. So was it something that was just in your genes to kind of perform?
In a way, yes. My dad's friends were all like 60s superstars, like Jerry Marsden was always around, you know.
Amazing.
The Searchers and the Marmalade and Herman's Hermits and all those kind of guys were always...
They're great band names, aren't they, back then? They were always, there's something, you know, there's somethings.
Yeah, exactly. I'd find to Wayne Fontana and the Mindbenders, you know.
That would be amazing. You can't get better than that. They're around for chili tonight, Wayne. So it was always kind of going on in your house, basically.
Yeah, dad always used to throw parties, and they'd have like jam sessions where they had all these guys, you know, playing. And so I feel like it was kind of very much around us, you know. We were never going to become accountants, put it that way.
And what was it quite a bit of pressure then on you to kind of, or not, you know, seeing your dad in such a huge band? I mean, and then you want to do it yourself. Does it make you go, oh, I don't want it unless it's that big?
Yeah, I never felt the pressure, you know, and that's testament to my dad, you know, and he always said to all of us, you know, whatever you want to do in life, I will support you in whatever you want to do. And all of us decided we wanted to go into music. So I think he was quite pleased, to be honest.
Yeah, that's good. Back to the career. So obviously, post that single, what do you follow it up with? I mean, that's a big thing. I'm a Man, Not a Boy peaked at number 27, which I suppose is a bit low compared to that. Was it kind of like a bit of a shock that you didn't go straight to number one?
Yeah, it was. It was a funny time in pop world, you know, in early 90s like that. It was weird. I, you know, obviously hindsight, perhaps I would have chosen a different song maybe, but that's kind of the way it all happened. Yeah.
And again, a little quiz for you. I'm not sure whether you know. So do you know what number the second single, I'm a Man, Not a Boy, what am I thinking of as a new song that's kind of, as a Beyonce song, isn't there, with a kind of similar title?
Similar title, right.
Belgium. Do you know what it got to in Belgium?
In Belgium?
Yeah. I've done my research, Chesney.
You've done more research than anyone that has ever interviewed me. If you know where that, no, my second single got to in Belgium.
In Belgium.
I'm going to
tell you it's higher.
I'm going to say 8.
No, I mean, you've got a bit too high, 20, but still, that's, 20, you know, still good.
Okay.
It didn't go above 20. And in Switzerland, I kind of feel bad now because I should have said that was the best one, Belgium, 20. So Switzerland's a bit...
single in Switzerland, I say 25.
Nearly 28. Brilliant. And Germany, again, I've gone the wrong way. So we're going down the charts at the moment.
Oh, it's got to be 35 then, isn't it?
They're 44.
That was the year that Freddie died. I actually went to the Wembley Freddie Mercury tribute concert.
Oh, did you? Wow. Oh, the one with them. One of my favourite songs in that was George Michael and Lisa Stansfield singing These Are the Days of Our Lives, which I think is the B-side of this. Oh, what a concert to be at. Yeah. Amazing.
Oh, it was incredible. And I remember going backstage, I met Freddie's mum.
Wow.
Met George Michael, you know, met all these incredible people. And I just remember that moment because it was like right at the height of my fame. And so, you know, I was very looked after backstage. And
I was going to say, you couldn't probably just stand in the audience at that point.
No, I couldn't really at that point. But I was always a huge Queen fan. In fact, sitting right beside me is a massive poster of Queen. So yeah, that was one of my favorite moments of the early 90s. Hello again.
So loads of memories from that time. I mean, you obviously did Top of the Pops. You must have done that a million times.
Yeah, I think I did it about 6 times, something like that. And then we did a Christmas special, you know, that year, 91. It was
just
weird.
Is great, isn't it? Because I mean, the world misses Top of the Pops.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I grew up with Top of the Pops and, you know, that was something that I never missed on a Thursday night. You know, I loved it. And I remember when we were first going to do Top of the Pops, I think I was somewhere like number 17 or something like that at the time. So the record was climbing and they were like, you're going to do Top of the Pops this week. I was like, that's another moment where I was like, I've made it, you know, I'm on Top of the Pops. And I was really looking forward to it. And I remember being a little disappointed by the kind of, you know, it looks, when you watch Top of the Pops, it looks like there's this massive crowd of people.
It was tiny, wasn't it?
Having an amazing time and everyone's like going crazy. But in reality, it's just a bunch of kind of BBC runners.
Employees.
And, you know, they just kind of gather them together in this little crowd and just make it look like it's a big crowd. And I remember being like, oh, is that it?
So I went as a... like a normal person, I was going to say, what an awful thing to say, is like just a boy.
Yeah.
I went, I don't know who I saw actually, but we were really excited. And then obviously I later worked at Elstree because I did EastEnders. And what was mad was, and I did Grange Hill actually when it was still on. And I don't know whether you ate in the BBC canteen, but I remember a day when I remember seeing Doc Cotton, a load of people with blood down their face of Holby City, some school kids, and like Madonna was in the corner. It was like, what the hell is going on here?
I know it's an amazing thing that I always thought that, you know, after Top of the Pops that you would end up at the BBC bar with you know, Michael Jackson and and Bryan Adams
or
Freddie Mercury and you know, it wasn't quite like that. And as you know, when you actually end up doing it, because when
no,
you are,
it wasn't.
When
no, you're it was in just the some BBC employee that have been in the audience, drunk and
yeah, exactly. And of course, you don't have time to stop. You know, that's the other thing about it.
You're flying to Japan after that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, we're straight off to whatever else we're doing, and it's like, you know, it's done. Because if you're in the charts and you're doing Top of the Pops, then you're in demand. So
yeah,
you know,
you're going
you can't
round
stop
and round and round. We're going to quickly play either or. We're going to talk all about what's coming up. So you just choose either or. This is the weekly quiz with my guest. So Steps or S Club 7?
Oh, that's a hard one,
it's
Lee.
Tough, isn't it, actually?
That's really hard. I'm going to go, oh, God, because I know them as well. That's the other thing. So,
yeah.
Like, I don't want them to think I'm choosing either of them. But,
well, I'll choose whoever you don't.
Okay, well, I'm gonna go with S Club 7 then.
Okay, great. I would have gone with Steps. That's perfect. Even though I love S Club 7, and they're coming back, amazing. They're going to be really fit as fiddles again. Netflix or cinema?
Cinema.
Good, good. Sprouts or cabbage? I mean, these are random. Sprouts or cabbage? Both.
I'm going to go cabbage, actually.
Okay, yeah. Have you ever had cabbage with a bit of this is a really rubbish story because Bovril in it and you fry it. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Well, I love hearing about things like that. A lot of people are not very adventurous with their
food. Yeah, you just put a bit of Bovril in. It's amazing. Tell Jamie and tell him he can use that.
All right. Got that one from Lily. Salty.
Speedos or shorts? I'm guessing from your high diving, you're a bit of a Speedos man.
Well, no, I'm going to go shorts, to be honest.
Shorts, okay. You're still not cracking out the Speedos. Kylie or Danny?
Kylie.
Timberlake or Bieber?
Oh, I think I'm going to go Bieber, actually.
Okay, that's interesting, because yeah. You're kind of a little bit older than me, but we're probably the same age, but most people go Timberlake, old school people, but you've gone Bieber.
Yeah, but I just like Bieber. I like his music, so I'm not a huge Timberlake fan. I like some of his...
You haven't got to explain yourself, Chesney. You haven't got to justify it. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
And long Chesney hair or short Chesney hair?
If I could only grow the hair like I used to. I'm kind of in between at the moment, actually. I've kind of
mid-length Chesney
hair. Yeah, I'm going mid-length.
I was kind of really quite eclectic, I think, when I was young. Have you heard of Julia Fordham?
Yeah, I love Julia Fordham. Oh, dear. I've met her a few times. Fordham. She's gorgeous.
I used to love her when all my mates were like listening to whatever and they were like, who's Julia Fordham? But I think they tour together now, Beverly and Julia Fordham, don't they?
They do. In fact, I did the same circuit for a while because they do little like acoustic venues, acoustic venues. Yeah, really, really nice.
Amazing. Well, everyone go and listen to Julia Fordham. Actually, we'll put some Julia Fordham on at the end of the show for you. Right. So you need to go onto your website basically to see what you're doing. But you've got loads of tour dates coming up, Butlins and Pontins in the UK, which must be so good to do.
I love the Butlins. It's just so fun. You know, you've got a captive audience for a start. They're all having a good time. The stages are amazing. The people at Butlins are great. They're really fun
and
shows.
I'm guessing the kids kind of look at their like parents or older brothers and sisters going, oh, like, what's happened to you? Because I'm sure they go insane when you come on.
Yeah, but the thing is about the Butlins shows is that they're a lot of the times that I play Butlins, or a lot of us do the Butlins, it's normally like 90s, 80s weekenders.
Oh, perfect.
So no kids allowed.
Oh, no kids allowed.
It's all adult.
Oh, God, that's raucous then.
Yeah, it's mental. It's mental.
And what other people do you normally share the stage with? I mean, these tours...
Oh, everyone's played Butlins. Everyone's played Butlins. I mean, you know, you name an artist and they've been there, you know.
And are you playing any of the bigger ones this year? Because I've seen a couple of huge festivals that are coming out with loads of stars in the 90s and stuff.
Yeah, I always do the Let's Rock tours the Rewind.
Festivals, yeah, they're brilliant. Yeah, amazing. And I also saw on your website, which I love, you can actually, I'm guessing this is by Zoom and you don't travel to someone's lounge, but you can actually book a personal gig with you.
Yes, it is via Zoom, that one.
I was
yes.
going to say, like now, can you come to, Scarborough, please, for half an hour?
Exactly. Well, it depends if I'm in the country, you know.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, people do that, you know. They call them house gigs or house shows.
Yeah, my mate Tom Vaughan, who's kind of not a really, really famous, but he does them, and he said it's quite weird, like, because obviously some really big fans get you round.
Yeah, no, it can be a little bit weird. I've done a couple of them. It's interesting, you know.
And I love it. It says if you don't want you to sing, you'll just talk. I mean, even weirder if you have to sit and talk to them and not even play your song. Yeah.
Well, that all started, the Zoom things that you're talking about from my website, that started through the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I started doing these, you know, like 20-minute gigs for people. And they would have like... It depended. It was very eclectic, really. One would be like, you know, a couple on a couch, and then another one would be like the whole family, and like, you know, other people get a party together and put and erect a big screen, and then like come
brilliant.
On, you know. Yeah, it's really fun. I actually really enjoy those. They're good fun.
And then you've also got a new album. You have to come back on the radio when the new album comes out later in the year. But how's that going? So that's, are you recording, writing for that at the moment?
That one is done.
It's ready.
Oh, it's ready to go. It has been for a while now. My good friend Jake Gosling is the producer and co-writer of the whole album, and he's very famous for discovering Ed Sheeran.
Oh, I mean, who's that?
Yeah, I'd never heard of him.
Rubbish. What an awful person Jake is. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, really proud of this album, and hopefully it'll be released later this year.
Later this year, so we'll look out for that. And also, I've got my podcast, Safe in the Box and Pop for the Box. You've got your podcast as well. Tell me about your podcast.
I do. My podcast, another one that started in lockdown. We started it as kind of like a mental health podcast, but it's morphed into a really fun chat show. It's called Ferguson Harrington Hawks.
And why is it called that? Just to ask.
Well, there's three of us. Lynn Ferguson, Neil Harrington, and me. And I do live music. I play live music. I actually perform live. Whoever our guest is gives us their favorite song, and I perform it live, and we talk about why and get deep into why they like it or where's the emotional connection. We ask for their quote that they live their life by, and we get deep. You know, we've had tears, we've had laughter. I mean, it's
amazing,
really
fun. I love doing my podcast. Some of them have got really deep as well, and you kind of it's kind of what for my one, because a lot of the actors have been friends who I interview, but you get to hear about all this life that you haven't actually ever asked them about.
Yeah, well, that's it, because the great thing about podcasts is you've got an hour really to kind of get into subjects and really talk about them, and you know, people really open up. It's
really
nice.
Especially if you've had a glass of wine on Zoom as well.
Gets even more deep.
We could be there for hours. Well, listen, it's been... So go on your website. What is your website? Do you know it off by heart, or should I look it up?
ChesneyHawks.com. Simple as that.
There we go. I mean, it could be any simpler. It's been amazing to speak to you and have you on the show, Chesney.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Leo. I appreciate it.
Thank you to the one and only Chesney Hawks for being my special guest on Pop from the Box today. We're back with another soap star on Soap from the Box Season 4, this time next week. Remember, if you want to hear unedited episodes, plus a very special episode with EastEnders star Jacqueline Josser for free, all you need to do is sign up for free over at anotherslice.com. Get yourself over to anotherslice.com/soapfromthebox. I'll be back same time, same place next week. Have a brilliant week, and thank you for celebrating, enjoying Season 4 of Soap from the Box. Bother me.